Hi, you guys. Welcome back to the Amani Talks podcast. You're here with your host, Amani Talks, for our Talk Tuesday segment. So I wanted to start out by giving a special shout out to a friend, Shoshana. She has a candle company, SLS Candle Co. I will be tagging her company in her Instagram below in the description box. She makes these homemade candles, you guys, and I have like four of them. The scents are so like light. I'm someone that I can't handle a really like strong candle smell. It gives me a headache. I can't even wear strong perfume, but her candles, they're like lightly scented, but they just refresh the room. So shout out to her. Black woman owned company. Like I said, I will be tagging her in the bio below so that if you guys want to check out and support, definitely go and order some candles. She ships countrywide. The scent I have right here is called Mental Break, and she has a few different scents that come with really nice messages. So if you guys want to support, I would definitely recommend SLS Company by Shoshana. Hey boo! So let's get into what we're going to talk about today. I shared my testimony on here, I think about, it's been maybe 2 weeks now, and I shared some clips in my social media, and a question that this one of my followers had for me really stuck out to me, because it's been something that I have been focusing on and really researching the past few weeks just because of different situations in my life. So let me tell you what this girl said. So my testimony, I had shared with you guys about how I gave up sex when it came to dating and also alcohol just for my lifestyle. And she said, where in the Bible does it say that you can't drink? Or she said, when did God say you can't drink? That's stuck out to me for so many reasons. And we're going to get into every single bullet point today because I wrote down a few notes. So in this episode, I really want to talk about our own personal liberties that we have as Christians, meaning what is the difference between a personal conviction and a sin, right? So when I was taking my notes, I titled this, Don't Take Advantage of Your Liberties in Christ. So let's get into it, because 1 Corinthians, Paul writes all about this. From I think like chapter 8 on, he writes extensively about what liberties in Christ are, what they look like, and when they are appropriate to take them or not. So let me tell you guys what I've been dealing with in my personal life that led me to even research this to begin with, because like I said in the beginning, by the time that I saw that comment, this was already something that I was already looking into for myself. And it's so funny that she focused on the drinking, because the drinking is the specific example of what I have been dealing with in my personal life. So I have a friend, and we're going to go on her birthday trip in the next month, right? And with this friend, usually when we travel, do things together, in the past, it has been drinking whatever we want to do, right? And like I said, this, me recommitting my life back to my walk with God, is something that has been more recent for me. So in the past, when we went on vacations, that's what we did. That was our experience. Basically, I was really struggling with, you know, accepting to go on my friend's birthday trip. I mean, I know for a fact I was going to go anyway, because I'm the type of friend that I'm not going to let you do anything for your birthday alone. Like, I'm going to be there for all my friends' birthdays. I think that birthdays are very important. It's the one time of the year that we get to celebrate you as a person. And as a friend, I'm going to show up. So it was never a question of if I was going to go or not. It was more so a question of, man, this particular friend is very used to me when we travel, when we go out drinking and everything. And I have committed myself recently to just not drinking at all. So what is this going to look like? And this is really a challenge that I think a lot of either new Christians or Christians that are recommitting themselves back to God will face. Because when you're not walking with God, you are still living your life. You're still collecting friends that are doing the same things as you, collecting habits, you know, just living for the world. And while we are not in our walk with God and we're collecting these experiences, these people, these whatever, when we switch up, it's going to be different for the people in our lives. Like, that's just how it is. So now my own personal dilemma has been, okay, I'm going to go on this trip, and I know for a fact that everyone around me is going to be drinking. So I was talking to one of my other friends, and I was telling her, like, man, like, I feel really conflicted about drinking or not if I go on this trip, because I'm not drinking anymore, but it is a vacation, it's her birthday, you know, all the excuses that I'm giving myself as to why I should just drink and look like everyone else because it's my friend's birthday. And basically, I had to make a personal decision. Am I going to go on this trip and drink just because of the celebration? Or am I going to stand by what I've said and committed myself to, because God doesn't disappear just because of somebody's birthday, you know? So am I going to commit myself to what I told God I'm going to do? and stand by that? Like, what am I going to do, right? So this was my own personal dilemma. And then I was kind of teetering towards, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to have a couple drinks, but I'm just not going to get drunk because I'm rationalizing it in my head, right? I'm going, I don't want to be a buzzkill. I don't want to kill the celebration. I don't want to be the only one left out. So I'll have one drink because the Bible doesn't tell us that we can't have one drink. That's the one excuse that we always give about drinking is even Jesus turned water into wine. So there is nothing wrong with the act of drinking in itself. So I had to really research this and really say, okay, what are my personal convictions and what am I going to do on this birthday trip? And is me taking one drink a bad thing? And just like that girl commented on my Instagram post, where did God say that you can't drink? So let's get into what I believe to be personal liberties versus actual sin and how Christians should conduct themselves around all people, believers and unbelievers. So it's so funny because as a Christian, when you're struggling with anything and you need to get some knowledge on it or you need some support, you know, you go into the Word, and I swear, when you pray for clarification on certain things, God will provide clarifications. Because I've been reading through the New Testament and I was nowhere near 1 Corinthians yet, but I was just scrolling through. I forgot what I was looking for. I was looking for something else. I was looking for a verse. And then I stumbled across this verse right when I had asked God, or, you know, prayed about clarification on this subject about if it was okay for me to have one drink during my friend's birthday party. So let me give you guys the verse that cemented it for me, right? 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. When I tell you guys that verse, I'm no exaggeration, that verse, I felt like an immediate conviction on my heart. It was like, when I read that verse, it slapped me in the face because that verse right there says it all. When I really sat down and dissected why I was trying to rationalize having one drink, even though I've already committed myself to not drinking at all, when I really sat down and tried to rationalize and understand why I was even trying to go there, I really had to understand I was only trying to justify it so that I didn't look different from everyone else. And I had to check myself in that thinking because we already know as Christians, we are not called to look like the world. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, don't be like the people of this world. So off rip, me wanting to take a drink just so I didn't look different from everyone else, that should have automatically been a conviction for me because I know that as Christians, we are called not to look like the world because the way that we live our lives are the only thing that's going to separate us from everyone else. If Christians look like everyone else, then what is a Christian? So when 1 Corinthians is telling me, awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not know have the knowledge of God, that really convicted me because I'm going, Amani, you are trying so hard to look like everyone else. Meanwhile, you don't know how you not drinking could open up conversations for people to say or ask me, oh, you're not drinking? Why are you not drinking? And then that right there could be an opportunity for me to tell them about my relationship with God and plant a seed in their heart, convict them maybe. And that's where I feel like sometimes we fail as Christians. We are so afraid of looking different. We are so afraid of being singled out, of being the only one in the room that doesn't look like everyone else, that we conform to the temperature of the room. And that's not what God has called us to do. We are supposed to look different on purpose so that people see that we are different and ask about us. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason of your hope. If we look like everybody else, no one has a reason to ask us about why we look different. We are supposed to look different. That is very purposeful so that other people can see that we are different and say, man, like, this is the only person in the room not constantly cursing or constantly complaining. They seem happy. They have a joy that's unexplainable. And then when they come to us and they ask us, why don't you drink? Why don't you curse? Why don't you do things that everybody else is doing? We should be able to point them to God. That's the whole purpose of Christians. We are supposed to be pointing everyone to God. So in my selfishness of me thinking, oh, I'm going to have a drink just so I don't look like, you know, the only one not drinking, just so I can make everyone else comfortable. In my comfortability, I am pointing people not to God, but to hell. And I know that sounds harsh, but that's the reality. It's the reality. If we are not, as Christians, pointing people to God, then who are we pointing them towards? So I'm sitting here trying so hard to satisfy my own personal desire of comfortability that I'm not doing the job that God has called me to do. And we know what the Great Commission is. So that verse, 1 Corinthians 15:33, convicted me. That was like the starting point of me really researching this and saying, okay, why can I not have a drink, even though I personally believe that I don't struggle with alcoholism? Why can't I, as a Christian, have one drink? Because I know that with my own personal walk with God, I know what my own personal convictions are. For example, I know that I feel convicted with the way that I dress because of the type of body shape that I have. But one dress that might be inappropriate on me, that the world doesn't see inappropriate, but that I feel personally convicted with, another Christian woman or another woman, period, might not feel the same conviction because, you know, she has her own personal relationship with God and she has her own personal convictions. So that's where these personal liberties through Christ come in at, right? We know that we have liberties through Christ. 1 Corinthians 8:9 says, "But beware, lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak." So basically what that is saying is, just because I personally don't struggle with drinking, who knows the people around me that do? Because we don't want our actions to cause other people to stumble. And why is that a problem? Well, you know, a lot of people will say, well, you know, that's my own personal walk with God. If you feel convicted in it, that's not my concern. Actually, that's not true. Because 1 Corinthians 8:12 says, "But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you also sin against Christ." So that's where that argument of my own personal liberty shouldn't bother anyone else's convictions is actually false. No, as Christian people, we are called to be unified in Christ. The body of the church is the body of Christ. We are one people. So if my brother or my sister in Christ struggles with something, even if I don't know about it, because we won't always know the personal struggles of the people that we call brothers or sisters in Christ, they won't always be so forthcoming with what they struggle with. And that's up to them. They don't have to share everything that they struggle with. But we as Christian people should be sensitive to all struggles. Paul also says in 1 Corinthians 10:22, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one to the other's well-being." That is our responsibility as a unified people under Christ. We are supposed to always consider the people around us. When Jesus told his disciples that the greatest commandment of all is that we love our neighbors as we love ourselves, how do you show that you love people? You show you love people by showing concern, by sharing in their weaknesses, by strengthening all your brothers and sisters in Christ. So even if you don't personally know that someone is struggling with drinking, we as Christians should not drink around other people. Number one, because we already talked about not looking like the world and being called out of the world and that we are to look different. But also, number two, you don't know who struggles with drinking. So let's not let our own personal liberties with Christ become stumbling blocks for other people. And then also, number three, my last point is going back to the original story time. I don't know these other women that are going to be at the birthday trip. I don't know who are Christians, who are not, who are saved, who are not. Chances are there are going to be women on this trip who are unsaved, have no knowledge of God, probably don't really have people in their life pushing them towards God. And, you know, that might be the case. So even if me not drinking is the one thing that opens up an opportunity for me to share my personal convictions and my relationship with God, and like I said in the beginning, plant a seed, maybe that is the whole purpose of me not drinking, period. Maybe the whole purpose of me not drinking is not for my own personal convictions, but what I show to the world. 1 Corinthians 9:22 says, "To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." So what that verse means is that as Christian people, we should be able to be in any environment, read the room, and act accordingly, because I have a duty and a responsibility to look different, and then also to give an account as to why I look and act different. That's my whole role. That's my whole purpose. And then also, my last point, I promise. I know I said my last one was the last point, but this really is the last point as to what really like sealed the deal for me on this conviction, right? If we remove the situation of other people around us, right? And I say to myself, okay, because I have a liberty in Christ that I know my personal conviction is not that I cannot drink and I can have one glass of wine without getting drunk, why would I do it? See, that's the thing that we need to ask ourselves too. And this is, you know, even going back to this verse, 1 Corinthians 10:22, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. Just because a glass of wine is not going to cause me to stumble with my relationship with God, why am I drinking that glass of wine anyway? All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. How was me having a glass of wine by myself when I'm watching a movie, how was that feeding my spirit? In cartoons, you know how you have that devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other shoulder and they're like talking to themselves? It's silly, but that is an actual representation of what we actually deal with in real life. And the spirit that we choose to feed is going to be the spirit that has more power over our lives. So why would I even have a glass of wine by myself if I don't want to have a habit of drinking, if I don't want to fall into drunkenness? A lot of times we give too much room to temptation in our lives. And then when we fall to sin, we are, you know, you repent, you get back up 100%. We are covered by grace. But why even give room to that? If I know that I don't want to drink, why even have one glass? It doesn't make sense. That's like saying, oh yeah, I want to lose weight, but I'm still going to have that one donut every morning. That is counterintuitive. All things are lawful for me. One drink might be okay for me with my walk with Christ, but why do it to begin with? And see, even situations like that is where we give room to the devil a lot of the times. Because when that girl asked me, well, God doesn't say you can't drink, that is the craftiness of the devil. Because there are a lot of things that the Bible doesn't explicitly say that we can't do. But when we sit and we research about personal convictions, liberties in Christ, how we should be all things to all people, things start to make more sense. But when people say, oh, it doesn't specifically say that, show me where it says that. Well, yeah, sis, he doesn't say that we can't drink, but he also says that we should not give into drunkenness. The Bible does say that. And a lot of times when we drink, aren't we drinking to get drunk? When we're taking a shot, we're not taking it because the shot tastes good. We're taking it to get drunk. When we're having a margarita, we could have had, you know, a tonic and lime or something like that. We are doing it to get drunk. We want to have that alcohol feeling when we drink. So that is even one thing in itself. And it's just like, okay, yeah, one drink doesn't hurt, but why are you even having that one drink? That's where the devil slips in. So I really just wanted to wrap this message up with really one focal point when we talk about, you know, personal liberties with Christ or what separates a sin from a personal conviction. What it really all comes down to is you need to be reading the Bible for yourself. And we already went through a few verses, but I would really encourage you when you really want to talk about this topic or really research it for yourself, go from 1 Corinthians chapter 8 to chapter 15 and really read all that Paul has to say about being united as a united body in Christ, about not doing things so that your brothers and sisters in Christ don't stumble, about all things are lawful, but not all things are for edification. Really read through those things, because when people come to you and they ask you about why don't you drink? Why don't you have sex? Why don't you curse? Why don't you look like everybody else? You need to be able to give an account. You know, the personality that God gave me is that I've always been someone that I don't like to look dumb. I've always been a numbers person, a statistics person. I want to be able to reference articles and sites when you ask me about, well, where does it say that? And where did you hear that? I'm very big on being able to reference exactly what I talk about so that when I'm speaking, I don't look stupid. Like, that's just my personality. I've always been someone to where I want to be able to refer back to exactly what I'm talking about, because when people ask you a question and they're looking for you to slip up, when you say nope, because it's written right here, it is written, then they can't dispute you, right? So I've just always been someone that I like to read things for myself. I like to read things for myself because when people ask me, I want to be able to give a correct and concise answer. So when that girl asked me, where does it say that you can't drink? When did God say you can't drink? I put up these verses, baby. I responded back to her. And you know what she said? She said, thank you, because no Christian has ever been able to explain it to me like that. And I didn't, you know, give her some long drawn out answer. I think I just wrote like maybe 3 to 4 sentences about my personal convictions and about what it says in the Bible about not looking like the world and not, you know, no drunkenness, no all of that. But she thanked me because she said no one has been able to explain it to me like that. And she was like, this is how I know that you actually read your Bible. And I'm like, yeah, I do read, because I like to know what I'm talking about. So I just want to encourage everyone that, when you have personal convictions or you're confused about something or you don't know where it says this or that, you need to be able to go back to verses and give an account for exactly why you do the things that you do. Because the number one thing that unbelievers like to attack Christians with is, you are only a Christian because your mom is a Christian. You only go to church on Sunday because everybody else does. You only do this because your preacher told you. And then when they ask you why you don't do something or why you do do something, a lot of us don't know. A lot of us don't know why we go to church on Sundays. A lot of us don't know why we can't have one drink. A lot of us don't know because we don't read. And I really want to encourage you guys that when you have these questions or things that you're not sure about, pick up the Bible and read it for yourself. I have a notebook and I write down verses while I'm reading that speak to me and that convict me and that prove to me, okay, this is why I don't drink. This is why I don't have sex. This is why I don't do these things. It's very important to have a personal account of these things so that you can give your personal account to other people for understanding. And reading 1 Corinthians really helped me to understand and hold on my conviction so that when I go on my friend's birthday trip later on this month, I'm not going to drink. And I know that it is going to open doors and opportunities for people to ask me, oh, Amani's not drinking. Girl, why are you not taking a shot? Why are you not drinking? There you go. That's going to be my opportunity to give a word, to give a verse, to plant a seed, to give encouragement. Whatever I need to do in that situation, I know the Holy Spirit will speak through me and that situation will help me. But right there, just looking different is going to be enough to open doors to talk about God. And that is the whole point of Christians being on earth. You know, we're supposed to be spreading the word. If we weren't, as soon as we get saved, God would zip. We would go up to heaven as soon as we get saved. No, we are still on earth after we get saved to spread the gospel, to evangelize. And looking different is going to open the door for that. So I just want to encourage you guys, don't be afraid of looking different. That is your purpose. If you look like everybody else, you ain't doing something right, sis. And that's not me. It says it in the Bible, okay? So I will see you guys next week, next Tuesday. I love you guys. Talk to you later. Bye.